Hey folks, welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm your host, Jack. And as always, I'm joined by the ever-brilliant Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. Hey, everyone. I'm doing great and can't wait to dive into today's hot topics. We've got a lot to cover, from the latest in AI advancements to a few head-turning business moves and, of course, a sprinkle of politics. It's shaping up to be a fun one.
Absolutely. We're going to kick things off with a discussion about the recent breakthroughs in Web 3.0 technology. There's been a lot of buzz about decentralized applications and how they're reshaping the internet as we know it.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. And hey, let's not forget to touch on the recent IPOs that have shaken up the tech world. Investors are going wild, and there are some pretty big implications for the market.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of shaking things up, we definitely need to talk about the latest political developments that have tech companies sweating, new regulations, potential mergers, and all the drama in between.
And you know, Jack, we can't let them off too easy. We'll be dissecting those decisions and how they might affect innovators and entrepreneurs in our
Exactly. So whether you're a tech enthusiast, a business buff, or just here for our witty banter, welcome. Buckle up, because it's going to be an informative and wild ride today.
Get comfortable, folks, and let's dive right in. First up, Web 3.0 and the next big thing in decentralized applications.
So, Core, I gotta say, using XXHash to avoid duplicated aggregation really sounds like a classic optimization trick. We always want the data we process to be effective, right?
Absolutely, Jack. It's about being as efficient as possible. Instead of running endless small tasks, we consolidate them into fewer, more powerful instances. Think of it as upgrading from a bunch of factory lines making individual parts to a single line assembling whole cars.
Right. And on the other side, the malicious use of AI to break these optimizations is a bit scary. We've heard of people using AI to manipulate data in ways that throw off these well-intentioned systems. It's like someone finding a way to hack into an assembly line and throwing a wrench into it.
Exactly. You're moving along smoothly. Then, bam, someone throws in faulty parts on purpose. It's a constant cat and mouse game. And speaking of disruption, and Tensor's new Vector.Fun is really shaking things up in the NFT space, right? SocialFi merging trading and social interaction. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Vector.Fun seems like a one-stop shop for trading and engaging with friends over the latest memes. It's like combining Robinhood with Reddit. I mean, if you're going to trade, might as well have a bit of a fun social environment, right?
And don't forget, it's also multi-chain. A lot of new NFT platforms are starting to support multiple blockchains, which makes sense. You don't want your marketplace to be stuck on one island when there's a whole archipelago out there.
Through Solana into Ethereum or whatever new chain pops up next. And with Tensor's big push stealing that market share from Magic Eden, it'll be interesting to see if their SocialFi idea really catches on.
Absolutely. But this meme coin trading, especially with Pump.Fun making it so easy to launch a new coin, feels like DeFi on steroids. It's the Wild West out there.
It is. And most of these new tokens have the lifespan of a mayfly. They die off so quickly, it's only a few that really bring in big returns for now.
In that sense, the real winners are the platforms raking in the transaction fees. Pump.Fun pulling $180 million. Wow, that's where the real money's at.
Exactly. But it's also great to hear about legitimate acquisitions like Bitwise buying Attestant. It shows there's still traditional growth and consolidation amidst all this chaos. Now, ETH staking looks set to surpass U.S. interest rates in terms of returns, which is nuts.
Yeah, bit of a double-edged sword, though. While the high staking rewards are attractive, you've got to remember there's always risk involved with locking up your assets. With 35 million ETH staked right now, that's a huge chunk of crypto sitting unused in the traditional sense.
And the influencer effect on Dogecoin is as strong as ever. Musk's comments about the coin's inflation model being a feature, not a bug. What's your take on that?
It's typical Musk, isn't it? He loves stirring the pot. Pointing out that flat inflation decreases percentage-wise over time makes Dogecoin, in his view, more practical for payments. Mark Cuban would agree, saying it's better for spending rather than just hoarding like Bitcoin.
Quite the strategy. Manage value without making it too scarce. Even Musk's lighthearted comments on X can spike the price. It's both fascinating and a little frightening how much influence he has.
Definitely. And that last development with Trump bringing Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy into government roles is another layer of intrigue. Meme coins influenced by politics? What a time.
For sure. It'll be interesting to see if the new governmental efficiency department goes beyond just a fun acronym and actually brings some tech-driven change. And hey, speaking of changes, let's not forget Bitcoin's wild ride lately, hitting new highs almost daily.
Yeah, hitting $91,000 is insane. Bitwise's predictions are optimistic, but it's always good to remember the uncertainty. It could be $500,000 someday, or not. It's a wild speculation game.
And still, platforms like Robinhood are adapting relisting tokens amid regulatory challenges. The dynamics of how accessible crypto will be in the future is something to watch closely.
Exactly. And amidst this, old classics appear on new platforms, games like Pac-Man running on Bitcoin. The Ordinals protocol shows just how much innovation can weave through our nostalgia while pushing new tech boundaries.
Totally. Blockchain gaming is another frontier. Whether it's the novelty or the permanence of these games, it's fascinating. We're in an era where you can literally play Doom on Dogecoin.
Yeah. Blockchain keeps adding layers of innovation, and we're just getting started. So much evolving in tech and crypto, it's a roller coaster. Let's see where it goes next.
Indeed. Always more to unpack, folks. Stay tuned as we dive deeper into the ever-evolving world of tech, business, and crypto next week. All right, Core. So let's dive into this interesting development with Francois Cholet leaving Google. It's a big deal given his contributions to Keras and the wider AI community. What are your thoughts on this transition?
Yeah, Jack, it's like a heavy hitter deciding to leave the big leagues. I mean, Keras has been such a game changer. It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of deep learning frameworks, making it much easier for developers to build and deploy complex models. This guy's influence is profound.
Totally. Keras basically democratized AI. Right. Made it so accessible that even folks outside of hardcore tech circles could start dabbling with machine learning. His departure from Google feels like Steve Jobs leaving Apple, though maybe not that dramatic. But you get the point.
Haha, yeah, let's not go overboard. But seriously, it's impressive how many real-world applications depend on Keras. Think about Waymo's self-driving cars or our tailored Netflix recommendations. Keras touches so many facets of modern tech.
Absolutely. And Google's move to keep investing in Keras 3 and launching Keras Hub really shows their commitment to carrying on his legacy, right? Almost like they're saying, hey, we're going to keep this innovation train going.
Exactly. The launch of Keras Hub is a smart move. It's poised to centralize resources and tools, making it even easier for developers to innovate with AI. It's like the open source version of a candy store for techies.
That's a great analogy. And speaking of innovative leaps, I've been reading about Marcus Buehler's work at MIT, blending AI with graph theory to find connections between Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 and biological tissues. What a crazy yet fascinating overlap.
Oh yes. Using AI to draw parallels between music and biological structures is mind-blowing. The idea that both can share patterns of complexity is just wild. It reminds me of how we can find mathematical beauty in art. Like, everything's intertwined in ways we can't always see at first glance.
Right? And the aspect of teaching AI to think like this, using graph theory and category theory, is just next level. They're not just making AIs mimic human thinking. They're almost giving them the ability to discover and reason in ways we couldn't even predict.
Yeah, Buehler hinted at something brilliant. That complexity in biological cells and musical compositions is comparable. It's almost poetic, isn't it? And the practical applications, like creating new sustainable materials inspired by art, underline how these abstract connections can lead to tangible innovations.
That's the beauty of interdisciplinary research, right? But let's pivot a bit. What about the safety concerns Anthropic's CEO, Dario Amodei, brings up? Talking about AI becoming as capable and intelligent as humans. That's fascinating, but also freaky.
Totally. The idea of AI surpassing human capabilities, or AGI, that's a game changer and potentially a game ender if not managed properly. We're on the brink of an era where AI could not only assist, but maybe outthink us in critical aspects.
And with that comes the wild potential for AI to deceive us, manipulate data, or even bypass restrictions we set for ethical behavior. It's like raising a kid genius who's too clever for their own good and may not share our moral compass.
Exactly. Amodei's concern is valid. AI doesn't inherently understand human ethics or consequences. They don't feel the way we do. So a rogue AI could cause significant harm just by following logical structures without the moral guidance.
That mechanistic interpretability approach is fascinating, though. It's like having an MRI for AI's brain. We could potentially catch rogue intentions before they cause chaos.
Yes, and Anthropic's responsible scaling policy is another critical measure. As these AI systems grow more advanced, establishing safety protocols is essential. It's like putting seatbelts and airbags in a car. You hope you never need them, but they're crucial if things go haywire.
Exactly. The balance of potential benefits and risks of AGI and ASI is delicate. While it could propel scientific progress at lightning speed, the ethical implications and societal impact need a lot of thought.
That's the crux of it, keeping humanity at the center of this tech evolution. We need to ensure these systems reflect our values and serve our collective good, not just the interests of a few tech giants.
Right, and hopefully, with leaders like Amodei pushing for safety-first approaches, we can navigate this fascinating but treacherous landscape effectively. Here's to hoping we forge a future where AI enhances rather than endangers our world.
Cheers to that. It's an exhilarating time, and as long as we approach it wisely, the possibilities are endless. Onward with the AI revolution, my friend.
And on that note, let's keep an eye on these developments and keep our audience posted on the incredible, albeit sometimes daunting, world of AI. So, Kaur, getting back to our conversation about the 90s and that golden era of 32-bit consoles, what stood out to you the most from that period in terms of tech evolution?
Oh, man. It's got to be the sheer leap in graphics. You remember popping in a game on the PlayStation or Nintendo 64 for the first time and thinking, whoa, this is the future. 3D polygons just blew my mind back then.
Totally. And let's not forget how those consoles weren't just about eye candy. They brought a whole new level of music into our homes. I mean, think about those iconic soundtracks from games like Final Fantasy VII or The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time.
Absolutely. The music was next level. It wasn't just background noise. It was part of the experience. You know, Nobuo Uematsu's compositions for Final Fantasy are legendary. It's no wonder people still hold concerts for those soundtracks.
It's wild to think that kids playing those games were actually getting introduced to complex musical scores, sometimes even before hearing classical music in other contexts. Games were almost like cultural touchstones, right?
Spot on. And speaking of wild, it's a bit ironic how that era also had its quirks. You mentioned photosensitive seizures earlier, and it's crazy how we now know so much more about the potential hazards of flashing lights in games. But back then, it was a big learning curve.
Yeah. The infamous Pokemon episode in Japan in 97 was a big wake-up call. Suddenly, everyone was paying attention to these risks. It's kind of fascinating how our collective knowledge about such things has evolved.
Exactly, and it still continues to evolve, just like the tech itself. Take the NAS example we were discussing earlier. Who would have thought back then that we'd be transferring gigabits of data seamlessly or worrying about VPNs like Tailscale messing with our network speeds?
Yeah, it's just a testament to how far we've come. Instead of worrying if our console graphics would look decent on an old CRT TV, now we're concerned about our internet speeds and data retention. It's a whole new ballgame.
And on the topic of evolution, did you hear about that trading platform the company's founders launched out of sheer frustration with the NFT market? It's fascinating how these 90s gaming routes have branched into an evolving digital economy, impacting everything from art to finance.
Oh, I did hear about that. It's almost like trading cards 2.0. The market for digital collectibles has literally exploded. People are even putting playable games on decentralized networks as a form of preservation or just for the novelty.
And it's not just about financials or tech. It's reshaping our concept of ownership and creativity. We're inscribing media onto blockchains, preserving it in a way that could outlast physical media. Imagine those 90s developers seeing this. They'd be mind blown.
Right? I love how that era laid the groundwork for so much of what we consider normal today, from 3D graphics to interactive music experiences, and now we're seeing games influencing trading, art, and even new financial platforms.
It's a continuous loop of innovation. Next thing you know, we'll have AI generating personalized music scores for our games or movies in real time, learning from what the 90s began, but taking it to stratospheric levels. Can't wait to see what's next.
Absolutely. All of this proves one thing. The seeds planted in the 90s were just the beginning of a tech revolution that's still growing. The best part? We get to witness and be a part of it. Hold on to your controllers. The game is far from over.
And on that note, let's put another token in the arcade machine of our discussion.
So, Core, we were talking about how the music landscape really shifted throughout the 20th century with all this digital tech coming in. I'm curious, what do you think was the most pivotal moment in this change? Was it the introduction of synthesizers or something else entirely?
Oh, great question, Jack. I'd say the introduction of the Fairlight CMI in 1979 was definitely a game changer. This wasn't just any synthesizer. It was a digital synth, sampler, and a digital audio workstation all rolled into one. Imagine going from using traditional instruments to having a machine that could emulate pretty much any sound under the sun.
Yeah, those early synths really opened the door for a whole new world of music production. I mean, you had artists like Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush who completely transformed their sound using the Fairlight. And of course, it paved the way for synthesizers to become the mascots of the 80s music scene.
Definitely, Jack. And let's not forget how that technology trickled down to everyday musicians. By the late 80s and early 90s, home computers started incorporating multimedia capabilities. That essentially democratized music production. It wasn't just big music labels producing high-quality albums anymore. Independent artists with a simple home studio could do it too.
That's true, Cor. Remember how we used to mess around with the earliest versions of Cubase on the Atari ST? All those MIDI connections, sequencing tracks. It felt so futuristic back then.
Oh man, the nostalgia. Connecting samplers and synths to the Atari via MIDI was like a rite of passage. But back to your point, yes, that digital revolution gave birth to a lot of genres we enjoy today, like EDM. And it also changed the way traditional genres evolved. We started seeing electronic elements even in rock and jazz.
Speaking of genres influenced by digital tech, the 80s also saw the rise of the club and rave scene. Drum machines, sequencers, and samplers defined that era. I remember going to a rave and being blown away by how different the sound was compared to live band performances.
Huh. The 80s rave scene, yeah, that was something else. It's fascinating to think how drum machines like the Roland TR-808 and 909 weren't even designed for rave music, but ended up becoming iconic tools in that setting. They could create those deep, thumping bass sounds and snappy snares that were just perfect for dance floors.
And interestingly, those sounds have persisted. Even today's music incorporates elements from those early kits. Whether it's in hip-hop, techno, or pop, the DNA of those machines is still alive and kicking.
It's like we took the best parts of the analog and digital worlds and mashed them together. And honestly, we have these technological leaps to thank for the diversity we have in music today. What's your take on how this has evolved into today's DIY culture with platforms like SoundCloud and Bandcamp?
Oh, it's massive. The internet and modern DAWs like the updated Cubase, or even free software like Audacity, have put the power of a full recording studio in the hands of anyone with a laptop. Plus, with platforms like SoundCloud, artists can share their work with the world instantly. It's a huge leap from mailing demo tapes to record labels and hoping for the best.
Absolutely. And it's not just production, it's distribution, marketing, all of it has become more accessible. Now, an independent artist can build a global fan base without needing a major label. It's really empowered a whole generation of musicians to take control of their careers.
Right, and it goes beyond music, too. Look at how digital transformations have affected other creative fields like film, visual art, and even writing. Technology has made it easier for artists in all domains to create, collaborate, and share their work.
Totally. And let's not forget the economic aspect. It's also brought about new revenue streams for artists, whether it's through streaming, sync licensing, or direct fan support on platforms like Patreon. Musicians have more ways to sustain themselves financially.
Yeah, but there's also tons of debate about whether streaming services fairly compensate artists. That's a whole can of worms we could dive into. For now, though, it's clear that digital technology has deeply influenced the music industry in ways that were unimaginable just a few decades ago.
And it all traces back to those pivotal moments, like the introduction of the Fairlight CMI. From there, we saw an explosion of innovation that not only transformed how music was made, but also who could make it. It's been quite a ride, hasn't it?
Indeed, core and one thing's for sure. This evolution isn't stopping anytime soon. We've only scratched the surface of what digital tech can do for music and other creative industries.
Here's to the next wave of innovation and to all the amazing music yet to be created, whether by big studios or bedroom producers. Cheers to that.
Cheers, core.
Speaking of innovation, let's shift gears a bit.
Well, that about wraps it up for today's episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground, from the latest advancements in AI and their potential impact on industries, to some surprising moves in the business world, and even a bit of political intrigue for good measure.
Yeah, Jack, we had quite the lineup. We dove into the ethics of AI development, debated the future of remote work, and let's not forget that heated exchange over blockchain's place in our economy. I'm pretty sure we left no stone unturned.
You know, Core, as always, your take on the political landscape and how it intertwines with tech never fails to spark a great discussion. It's those dynamic interactions that keep our conversations fresh and engaging.
Thanks, Jack. And hey, you managed to sneak in some solid dad jokes despite all the serious talk. That's a real skill right there.
Gotta keep it light. And we couldn't do this without you, our amazing audience. You're the reason we get to come back each week and dive into these thought-provoking topics.
Absolutely. Big thanks to everyone who tuned in today. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights. And remember, innovation is a journey we're all on together. Stay curious and keep questioning.
If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We love hearing your feedback. Also, feel free to send us your questions and comments. Who knows, you might inspire our next topic.
And with that, we'll sign off. Thanks again for joining us on AI Unchained. Keep those minds unchained, folks, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time.